Come on, that's your mama's house. And my father's house. Come on.
Amen. How many walking in authority this morning? Let me see by show of hand. Are you walking in authority this morning? Amen. He said, get something in your hand and wave it in the air. Hopefully that something in your hands is the word of God. Amen. It is going from your hands to your heart. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's great. He's great to be praised. Amen. And we just thank God for our young people. Amen. Are we not blessed? Oh, are we not blessed? Are we? I'm going to just keep on asking it until somebody like that, like they hear me. Amen. We're blessed. Amen. Our young people are a blessing. Amen. And I'm telling you right now, if we don't let them know, man, the world has something for them. Amen. Amen. So we ought to just continue to validate them. Amen. In the love of Christ. Amen. In the word of God. Amen. We can't do it enough. We can't do it. We can't do it enough. Amen. We've got some baby blessings. Amen. Still. We ain't going to rush the word of God, but we pray not to be before you long. Amen. We greet you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. To Pastor Wright, to Minister Tolbert, to Deacon Wright, all the deacons. Amen. Everybody in the building today. Amen. To my wife. Amen. My mother. Amen. We just thank God. We greet you on the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, we want to ask that you would turn with us this morning. Amen. To the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. Amen. In the first verse. And we're also going to ask, if you would not mind, to also hold a place for the fourth chapter of the book of James. Amen. We will be, foundation for today's message will be in those two passages of scripture, the fourth chapter starting at the first verse as well. Amen. And starting with the fifth chapter, the first verse, the fifth chapter. Where the word of the Lord reads, therefore, being justified by faith, we have, somebody say, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, by somebody say faith, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were, somebody say, enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his fourth chapter of the book of James, starting at the first verse, James writes, For whence come wars and fighting among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? He says, ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. He says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Amen. In our focus text is that Romans 5, verses 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we do have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to choose a topic for this text, amen, we would just want to talk about no fellowship, no peace. No fellowship, no peace. We want to ask the question, have you ratified the peace treaty? Have you ratified the peace treaty? Let's look to the Lord. Gracious and eternal God, our Father, we thank you this morning for who you are. God, we just want to say that we love you. God, we adore you, we worship you, we praise you, we extol you. Oh God, we reverence you, oh God, because you're so good. You're faithful, oh God. You're just. Father God, you are loving. Lord God, you are kind. Father God, your patience and your long-suffering with us, oh God. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we are astonished. Heavenly Father, that you who are the Most High, Heavenly Father, that you have your mind on us, oh God. Heavenly Father, the writer said, what is man? The angel said, what is man that thou art mindful of us? Heavenly Father, we're so glad that you set your heart's affection on us, oh God. And we pray this morning, oh God, that you would speak to us. Speak to us diligently, oh God. Speak to us deliberately, oh God. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that you would constrain our hearts, compel us, convince us, oh God, expose our need for you, oh God, through your word. Heavenly Father, that our hearts might be further endeared to you, oh God. Heavenly Father, that we might receive with meekness the very engrafted word that saves our souls. Have your way right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Crucify my flesh, that I might not speak of myself, but Lord God, that you might have your way in this place, that there might be salvation, deliverance, conviction. Heavenly Father, the very encouragement of the heart, that you might get glory, honor, and praise. God, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask all these things in the mighty and the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And for his sake we pray. Amen. Amen. No fellowship. No fellowship, no peace. Have you ratified the peace treaty? Amen. We're living in a time which is really no different than any other time in history, where there's constant war. Constant war. There's war. There's been war since the very beginning. Amen. And we're in a war time. It's no different in these times. Amen. You got the war in Afghanistan and Iraq. Amen. We've got the Russian and the Ukraine war. We got the Mexican drug war, the Colombian conflict. We've got the Syrian civil war. We got war right in our lane, whether you know it or not. It don't have to be fought with weapons. Amen. Much of our wars in this land are fought with words. Amen. Oh, y'all gonna wake up this morning. Amen. Amen. We got Democrats versus Republicans. We got the far right versus the far left. We got black versus white. We got Roe versus Wade. We got vaccine versus anti-vaccine. We got all kinds of trauma and drama and heartache and heartbreak and anger and disappointment and hatred and bitterness. It seems like it's everywhere. It's like wherever you look, it seems like there's just conflict. Everywhere you go, and people are looking for peace. Amen. In a world that's a hot mess. Amen. We got people protesting the United Nations. We got protests at the White House and on the streets of every country and continent across the world. We got people screaming and crying, looking for peace, crying out for peace. We got some of the smartest people, both at the domestic level. Also, we got all these geopolitical minds constantly in rooms strategizing and trying to figure out ways to solve conflict in this world. Yet we still ain't got no peace. Yet we still looking for peace. All you got to do, we talk about it all the time. You look on the tabloids. We got evidence that there ain't no peace in this world. We got evidence that you can have all the money in the world and still not have no peace. And the reason why we don't have any peace, the reason why there's no peace, is because we're looking at this thing from the wrong way. Amen. Our context and our lens and our perspective, amen, is off. Amen. And we don't know what we're fighting against. Because it's not really about oil. It ain't about money. It ain't about guns. It ain't about drugs. It's not about life. It ain't about free choice. It's not really about any of those things. Amen. Peace has absolutely nothing to do with the conflict that goes on around us. It's not about the absence of trouble, y'all, because we always going to have trouble. It's not about being absent of trouble, but it's about our agreement with God in the midst of trouble. That's where our peace comes from. Amen, church. See, we live in a fallen world, and there's always going to be some element of trouble. There's always going to be some trial. There's always going to be some sort of tribulation. There's always going to be some situation or circumstance that tries to mess with our peace. God never told us that there wouldn't be any problems. Amen. But what he did, he made us a promise that we held fast to his promise in the midst of trouble. Amen. That he would give us peace. Amen. What did he tell us? He said, in this life, you shall have tribulation. He didn't say you might have tribulation. He didn't say that there might be a chance of tribulation. But he said, in this life, ye shall have tribulation. But he made us a promise in the midst of that tribulation. He said, you can be of good cheer because I've already overcome the world. He said, I've already made provision for the trouble. He said, listen, this world got enough trouble. But he said, my grace is more than sufficient. Even for the trouble that you go through. Amen. And we got an enemy that wants to disrupt our peace. You know that, right? Amen. The Bible says that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. But God has made us a promise even in the midst of the attack of the enemy. He said what? I have come that ye might have what? See, because some of y'all sleep this morning. And this is the reason why some of y'all ain't got no peace. Because listen, God has made us promises in his word. He said, I come that you might have life. And that you might have life more abundant. And even in the text that we just read, what did he tell us? He said, because of our faith, we have access. Amen. And he said that we can rejoice in tribulation, knowing this, that our tribulation, what? It worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope or assurance. And that assurance makes us not ashamed. It does not disappoint. Why, church? Because the love of God is spread abroad. In other words, our hearts must be broken to the promise of God's word. Amen. We have the promise of peace. And that's the thing, y'all. It's our faith. It's our belief in what God tells us. Real faith, y'all. Perfect. Not perfect faith, but complete faith. Amen. Amen. That ratifies the promise of peace. See, that's the peace treaty. Y'all know what the peace treaty is? See, some of y'all waiting for Congress to sign some bills to get the guns off the street. Some of y'all was shouting when they reinstituted Roe v. Wade and they turned it back and all. I'm going to tell y'all right now, them policies don't mean nothing. Those policies don't mean until a man's heart is broken to the promises of God, he will not have one bit of peace. This is our faith in what God tells us that ratifies the peace treaty. We got to believe. Somebody, turn to yourself, because I just need somebody. Somebody needs some spiritual coffee in here this morning. Please point to yourself and say, I got to ratify this peace treaty with my faith. It's our faith. It's our belief in what God says that brings about peace. And that's why some of us are stressing today, because we're so busy looking at what's going on around us. Instead of fixing our hope on what God has promised us and making sure that it's within us so that we have something to stand on when the Bible says the enemy comes in like a flood, but the Spirit of God does what? It lifts up a standard. It lifts up a standard against it. And you know what that standard is? It's the Word of God. If we don't have the Word of God, y'all, I'm telling you, we ain't never going to have no peace. You're going to keep on stressing about your bills. As a matter of fact, you're going to keep on stressing because you're going to keep on making them. Because it's the wisdom of God that gives us sense not to spend more money than we got. Amen. 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 And it's the Word of God that keeps us. And we've got to ratify this covenant that He's made with us. Amen. That we might have. That we might have. This is why service church don't do it. Some of y'all came in this morning, y'all was looking forward to the singing and the playing and the clapping, and y'all was excited when everything was going on. And when the Word of God go forth, we act like we don't know nothing. But listen, this Word is good for us. It is good for us eternally. The music only lasts for a while. The singing only inspires us for a moment. But my Bible says heaven and earth is going to pass away, and it's the Word of God that's going to stand forever. It's not going to stand outside of us, but it's got to stand on the inside of us, and that's what lasts, y'all. That's what lasts. See, but man's problem, this is what our problem is, and it's my problem too. We want peace by way of the Word instead of by way of the Word. We want to go around God's way of peace for us. We feel we can get enough money, buy enough things, have enough friends, that we'll have perpetual peace. Let me ask you a question. How has that worked out for you? See, you'll never have enough. Listen, y'all, that's the thing. We ain't never going to have enough of anything in this world. This flesh is insatiable. I'm telling you, ask Solomon. Better yet, ask Adam and Eve. They had everything. God gave them everything that a man's heart could desire. And it still wasn't enough. He said, you can have this, you can have that. You got this, you got that. It's all, but just don't, you can, listen, you got everything over here. But just don't mess with this one thing over there. But see, it's man's nature. Because he's not satisfied with everything that he has. So what did they do? They just went ahead and they said, okay, we got all this, but we won't touch this. We won't get, if we could just get a little bit more, if we could just have a look, and that can listen, and ever since, we've been running, chasing our fleshly desires, amen? Amen, and that's the thing, it wasn't enough, but that, the reason why it was never enough, because it was never God's plan for that to be enough. See, we've got to know that it was always by the love and the grace and the peace and the joy and the satisfaction and the fulfillment through Christ Jesus. That's the only way we're ever going to be satisfied, church. That's the only way we're ever going to have, that's the only way we're ever going to be made full. It's by way of Christ's life in us. The problem is this. The problem is this. Man is in conflict with his own purpose for existing. That's the issue. That's the issue, and we've been in conflict and disagreement with God ever since they made that mistake in the garden. And ever since then, we've been chasing something, right? Because we felt like we lost something in the garden, and we've been chasing the garden experience ever since. But that's the thing, y'all. The very thing that was missing in the garden, the very thing that they did not have in the garden, is the very thing that will completely fill us. And that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. That's the only way the conflict is going to be brought to an end, is if we make up our mind and submit and surrender to the life of Jesus Christ and his life within us. Amen, church.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So listen, let's look at the text. Well, listen, I'm about three-quarters of the way through the message. Okay? That's right. He said, that's what he said. Amen. Listen, look at our text. Look at our text. James chapter 4, verse 1. He tells us why we're in conflict. And he tells us where the conflict exists. Look at what he said. He says, listen, he says, from whence or from where come wars and fighting among you? He says, come they not hence even of your lusts that ye war in your member? In your members. He's telling us that the conflict is within us. He says, ye lust and ye have not. Amen. In other words, we're pursuing. There are things that we're pursuing. And no matter how much we chase after it, and no matter how many times we get it, and no matter how many times we obtain it, it's still not enough. He says, ye lust and ye have not. He says, ye kill and ye desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. He says, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Well, somebody say, I'm always asking. What do you mean I have not because I ask not? He tells us in the very next verse, he said, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. Because we asking for the wrong things. See, this is the problem. This is where the war lies. The war lies in our lack of agreement with God. See, when I don't agree with God, I'm going to ask for things that are not in his will for me. But when I'm in agreement with God, I will ask for all that God has for me. And guess what, church? He's faithful to give it. The Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all, above what we could ask, above what we could think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. In other words, God stands ready to give you better than what you can articulate. He stands ready to give you better than what you can conceive in your natural mind if we would only submit and agree with him that what he wants for us is better than what we want for ourselves. But see, what happens is our flesh takes control. And our flesh lusts after the things of the world. And it has convinced us that what the world has for us is better than what God has for us. And see, what happens is we perpetuate this cycle of unfulfillment and disappointment because we keep chasing things that can't satisfy us. Because we can't be satisfied by things that break, that depreciate, that run out, that run off and even die. Those things were not meant to satisfy us. But we keep chasing after those things, and those things continue to disappoint us, and then we perpetuate this continual cycle of disappointment and unfulfillment. That's where the war starts, y'all. Yeah. See, the war ain't about, listen, there are powerful men sitting in seats in office today who are not satisfied. Not because they ain't got enough money, not because they ain't got enough oil and power, because they ain't got Jesus. And because they're not satisfied in their own self, what do? They cut up, they act up, and they act out. And guess what? They send our sons and our daughters onto the battlefield. Not because of a conflict with another country, because of a conflict within themselves. But guess what, y'all? That ain't just them. That's us, too. If we're not seeking Christ as our everything. And this is what James was talking about. He was explaining what the problem was. He said, he made it clear that this is not just people in the world. He made it clear that this is in the church too. Because he said, you're cheating on God. Look at what he said. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Y'all know what that is, right? That's a cheater. Right? He said, you cheating on God. He says, know ye not, listen, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be, listen, young people, please listen. Mature, I started to say old people, and I don't want to offend nobody. Mature people, please listen. Please listen. For whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? No. Do y'all hear what he's saying? He is drawing a line in the sand. And he's letting us know where our loyalties ought to lie. Some of us more loyal to Amazon than we are to God. Seriously. More loyal to CNN and Fox News than we are to God. Because that's our Bible. More loyal to Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Disney, thank you, Disney Plus, than we are, because we spend more time in it than we spend in the Word, in the Word of God. And we wonder why we ain't got no peace. Because we're trying to find a momentary escape. I heard it last night. A momentary escape in the things of the world. And we get moments, listen, we say it all the time. We wonder why we only got a piece of peace. Because we only got a piece of God. Where God wants to fill us, and the Bible says he will give us perfect peace. Whose mind is sometime on Jesus? Oh, really? Now, whose mind is on Jesus on Sunday morning? Some of y'all mind ain't on Jesus right now. Whose mind is on Jesus on Wednesday and Tuesday night? He said, whose mind is stayed or continually. That means even when we at work, listen, our spirit can be feeding on the Word of God. If we'll just get in our closet every once in a while and meditate, I promise you the Word of God has staying power. Even when in your outer conscience, you're not thinking about God, your inner subconscious will still be staying on the Word of God if we will just allow God to have some time with us. Amen. Some of us just haven't come into church. Well, Pastor Wright, they want to make sure Pastor Wright sees us, so we'll stand up at different times of the church so that we can check off the box. I was here. I paid my tithe. I did my thing. And listen, and many will say unto me, or to him, on that day, we was in church every Sunday. We was on our post every single Sunday. We did all these things in the name of Jesus. And you know what he said he gonna say to us? He gonna say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Keep my name out your mouth. Because it's more than that. It's more than that, y'all. It's a heart's commitment and brokenness. To the Word. Listen, y'all, there are many churches that will look at Community Baptists, look at these crazy preachers, and say they too serious. It don't take all of that. And I'm here to let you know it takes all of that and some. Could you imagine if Christ would have said, it don't take all of that? It don't take me loving people who ain't think about me. It don't take me forgiving people who will turn their backs on me. It don't take all that. It don't take being beat with a whip. It don't take a crown of thorns on my head. It don't take nails in my hand and spikes. Now that I think about it, it just ain't that serious, is it? It is. Our hearts have to be broken. It's more than, listen, a lot of, it's going to be a lot of religious people who are,
who are disappointed in that day, our hearts have to be broken. And this is what, and this he's letting us know. If you listen, you either won't be a friend of the world, or you won't be a friend of mine. He says you can't do both. We can't have our cake and eat it too. And the reality of the matter, it's so much better on this side than it is on that side. We got to stop letting the enemy tell us that there's really something that's going to fulfill us over here. And we got to believe what God says. And this was the problem. Man's unsatisfied heart is the problem. Solomon said it in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 and 11. What did he say? He said, God has set eternity where, y'all? In our hearts. In other words, our spirits are eternal and can only be satisfied by eternal things. And listen, y'all, Christ is the author of eternal things. And the reality of the matter is you can't satisfy eternal longing with temporal things of this world. Christ is the only one who can meet our eternal needs. What did he tell us in Psalms 107? For he satisfied the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with goodness. Only God's able to do that. It don't matter how much you buy, how much you get. The things that we acquire can't do it, y'all. That's why Paul says, if ye be risen with Christ. What'd he say? He says, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. What did he tell us this? Where did he tell us to set our heart's affection? He said, set your heart, set your affections on things above and not things where? Where? Not things on the earth. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ. And he said, when Christ who is, now that means Christ has got to become our life. When Christ who is our life shall appear, guess what, y'all? Then we shall appear with him in glory. You know what that means? Then we're going to have some peace. Then we're going to have some joy. Then we're going to have some true contentment and satisfaction. But not until we get it in our hearts and minds that what God has for us is better than what the world has for us. See, the problem is we're running around trying to live our best life in this world, and we don't realize that we're sending ourselves deeper in conflict. See, because the more that we get, the more that we need. And the more that we need it, the more we chase after it. And the more that we chase after things that don't satisfy us, all it does is create a greater appetite. Because of what I said earlier, this flesh is insatiable. The more you get, the more you want.
That's right. Amen.
Why do you think only rich men want to be president? Because they ain't satisfied with what they already got. So they think if I can get in the office of the most powerful man in the world, then guess what? Maybe I'll get enough. Still ain't got enough. Because we were made for Jesus. He's the only one. Listen, y'all. He's the only one. He's the only one that can satisfy us. He's the only one. I'm telling you right now, you can't buy a house big enough. Your car, no matter how luxurious your car is, it ain't going to do it. You can have the greatest, most powerful job in the world, and it's still all the position and power and authority that a position can yield, and it still ain't going to be enough. Paul said it, y'all. Paul had it all. What did he say? He said, listen, he was chief among them. Right? Right? He had education. He had authority. He had status. He had lineage. But what did he say? He said, those things that were gained to me, he said, I count those things as loss. He said, I count those things as dumb. They don't mean anything in comparison to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, when he took inventory over his life and he compared what he had in Christ Jesus with all that the world could offer, he said, there's no contest. Only Jesus. See, y'all, we got to get to that place. We've got to get to that place where we said, listen, it does not matter what the world is offering. No, thank you. No, thank you. Because the world can't satisfy us. Solomon said, vanity of vanities. All's vanity and vexation of the spirit. Some of y'all wonder why, you know, you ever wake up in the morning on your way to work and don't know why you just feel like, ugh. And you think it's your boss and you think it's your job or the people on your job. No, that's a lack of the treasure of this word. Breaking our heart to give us perfect peace in the midst of all that the world is going to confront us with. We got to, listen, that's the thing. We've got to build in ourselves enough of the promises of God to be able to overtake all that the world is throwing at us. It's not, I'm telling you, you ain't going to have no peace. And that's what he said. He said, what profit have a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? In other words, all that the world wants to offer him. He said, listen, all things are full of labor. That's why we keep running ourselves ragged trying to get more money and get more of this and get more of that. You know why? Because he said, a man cannot utter it. He said, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. He said, nor is the ear filled with hearing. In other words, there's not a single thing in this world that can truly satisfy and fill you.
That's right.
No matter how long you chase it. No matter how much you get of it, you will never be satisfied. And it's only going to continue to cause conflict in you because it's going to perpetuate that cycle of disappointment in your heart. And until we say, Jesus, you are enough. You are more than enough. We ain't never going to have no peace. We ain't never going to have no peace. And that's why the church is a mess today. I ain't talking about this church. I'm talking about all churches. That includes this church. I'm a mess. These preachers, they'll tell you they a mess. Guess what? We all a mess. We're all a mess. Because we need to continually see, without Christ, we are a mess. We are a mess. And that's why the church is a mess. Is messed up and off balance. Because we got one foot in the world. And we got one foot in the church.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, you can't be in Christ Jesus and try and live your best life in this world at the same time. It's going to put you in conflict. Listen, it's an oxymoron. It's counterintuitive and it is counterproductive. It's only going to keep you running like a hamster on a hamster wheel. That's why Paul said, then I say in the book of Galatians chapter 5, he says, walk in the spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Yes. Listen, because he teaches us a very important principle in here. He tells us something about ourselves. He says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit lusts against the flesh. And listen to what he said, y'all. He said, the two of these are what? They're contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. In other words, you're walking around in conflict. One minute you're this way, the next minute you're the next way because of this war that's going on the inside of us, because we refuse to fuel the one that needs to win. Guess which one that is? The Spirit. My cousin Mr. Tammy Hamilton used to say all the time, man, this war is between the flesh and the spirit. And the one that's going to win is the one that you feed.
Amen.
And if we don't feed the spirit, the flesh will win, y'all.
Amen.
The flesh will win. We keep feeding the flesh with everything the world throws at us. And we wonder why we don't have perpetual peace. Peace. And when I say peace, I'm not talking about a feeling. Because y'all know peace ain't a feeling. You do know that, right? Peace is not about a feeling. Peace is about our standing. It's about our position in Christ Jesus. It's about our fellowship and agreement with him. That's what gives us peace. That's why you can't buy enough stuff and get peace. Because you might feel good for a minute. But at some point, that feeling's going to run out. And what we're going to be left with is the same emptiness that we had before we got the thing that we purchased. Case in point. We talk about it all the time. If we could be satisfied with the stuff that we get, there would be no iPhone 11. Is there iPhone 11? Is there? It's 11, 12, 13, 14, 21. Right? Why do we always need the next thing? I was having a conversation with somebody the other day, and they were talking about, we were talking about, I got one, listen, y'all, like, that's why I said I'm a mess, too. We was talking about the Apple Watch, and they were telling me, it's a friend of ours, they were telling me, like, man, I'm not going to get it because I'm going to wait. Because I was talking to somebody in the Apple store, and the next one is about to come out. And I guess my question is, what does the next one do that the one before that didn't do that was so great? That was really going to say, that's the thing, y'all. Listen, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor is the ear filled with hearing. We got to understand that the only thing that's going to satisfy us is Christ. Because he's the only thing that ain't, that ain't going to fail us and leave us. Man, this watch is going to break at some point. And I'm going to have to go get another one. But don't you see that that's the trick of the world? It keeps us running. You know why? So I can keep my attention off of what God says. As long as I'm standing, as long as I'm up 6 o'clock in the morning, waiting in a line at the Apple store that don't open up till 9 o'clock in the morning, just to get something that ain't truly going to satisfy me when I should be at my house, right? On the line, right? Praying through the scriptures with the rest of the saints, I ain't going to be satisfied. The enemy wants to keep us chasing after stuff that's not going to satisfy us. Amen. If you be a friend of the world, you're an enemy with God. At some point, y'all, we got to draw a line. If you're going to be in, be all in. We either going to stop chasing the things of the world and chase after God. Or listen, if we want God, I say it all the time. Listen, y'all, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging. Why in the world would I come to church on Sunday morning and go through all of this and go out and still do everything else that the world does? It don't make no sense. Man, we have to chase after this thing. We've got to chase after him. And then Paul tells us in Romans 5, he tells us, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, because it's our faith that ratifies God's covenant promises. What did he say? He says, without faith, it's what? It's impossible to please God. We must have faith. Without faith, it is impossible. And it's our faith in the substance of what God says, which is his word, that ratifies, it unlocks every single promise that God has made to us. Paul tells us, and this is the solution. Peace comes by way of fellowship or agreement with God. A love relationship through Christ Jesus. Agreeing with God that Christ is my life. That's righteousness. That's what Paul means when he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. In other words, I'm justified in my unwavering belief that what? That Christ took my place on the cross, and that Christ wants to continue to take my place in this life. And he became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God, i.e. that Christ might be my life. And by which he did what? what, church? See, this is the thing. This is how he started the ratification of this agreement between us and he, between us and him. What did he do, y'all? He abolished in his flesh the enmity that was between us and him. Our very sin nature, he abolished it on the cross. And he eliminated the very thing that separates us from him. The only thing that separates us from God, us from his peace, us from perpetual joy, us from perpetual fulfillment, us from perpetual happiness, is our willingness to ratify this agreement by our faith. Our heart has to agree with what God says. It has to agree. And because of Christ's life in us, we have peace with God, y'all. See, it's our continual growth in the knowledge of Christ as our life that brings about perpetual peace. It's the conforming process to the image of Christ. It's how God brings our life into agreement or alignment with his word. Our entire being, though, y'all, it's not just about our opinion. It's not just about a principle or a paradigm. It's not just about a belief system, but it's about our life submission to the will of God. And that's why Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, I heard it preached last night. He said, when Christ, who is our life. Listen, y'all, Christ just don't want to be a part of your life. Christ, it ain't about us walking hand in hand with Christ, skipping and jumping through the fields. You know, we got this grandiose ideal of what this relationship with God is. It's not about Christ with us. It's about Christ instead of us. He's come to replace us. And that's how we have peace. So it's ratified by Christ Jesus. And it's signed in the blood of the cross. But it has to be signed by two. He signed it already. He signed it when he went to the cross. He signed it by his blood. And as with every single treaty or agreement between two parties, there has to be two signatures. He already signed it. We've got to sign it. And you know how we sign it? We sign it by our faith. I didn't say by our belief. Belief is just a part of faith. We sign it. We sign it through our complete faith. Right? Faith is hearing the word of God. I heard it. I believed it. I allowed it to replace me. And then I obeyed it. That's how we sign. And it's through our very obedience where God gives us peace. Y'all, I don't know about y'all, but when I'm disobedient to God, I ain't got no peace. I can't sleep. And somebody greedy like me can't eat. It's through our agreement. And God has yielded everything for that purpose, y'all. He did it. He did it, this very text. And I'm done. I'm just talking now. He did it. He told us in this text. Listen, what did he say? He came to the table. And you see, and you notice how every time you see these countries and they're in negotiation, right, or you see an agent, right, negotiating for his athlete or his player, and you see there's one at the table already, and they're waiting for the other one to get to the table. Christ was already at the table. He already signed it. He extended the olive branch. What did he say? He said, when we were yet without strength. See, we weren't even thinking about coming to the table. We was happy in conflict with him. And he said, when we were yet without strength, he said, in due time, what did he do? He said, Christ died for us. He said, for scarcely would one die for a righteous man. And even peradventure, or least likely, would one die for a good man. But what did he say? He said, when we were not thinking about him, when we was happy in our sin, like a pig in slop, what did he say? He said, he committed his love. Which means he sent his love out searching for us. We weren't interested. Listen, y'all, we wasn't interested in no peace. We was happy with being in conflict with him. But because he loved us so much, he sent his love out looking for us. That he might convince us, that he might compel us, that he might persuade us to choose him over the world. And some of us in church have not yet made that decision. We still try to live our best life in this world instead of in him. And we'll come to church and we'll do the church thing, but every single person has to make up their mind. Have we chosen Christ? And when we and that's the thing, when we forfeit him, Lord help me. When we forfeit him, we forfeit our peace. He told us. He told us. What did he say? He says, what did he tell us in Isaiah 53? For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And look at what he said after that. He said, the chastisement of our He offered peace that you ain't even had to pay for. If I were to call you 6 o'clock in the morning and say, Walmart had a free $1,000 gift certificate, some of y'all wouldn't even change y'all clothes. Y'all run out of the house and y'all put your hands and go get your free. And go get your free gift card. And here God is offering us perpetual peace. He paid for it. He paid for it on the cross. Not only that, he said, for it pleased the Father to bruise him, that he might bring peace between us and him. As we stand this morning, my question is, will you choose peace? Or do you want to continue? Or will we continue to operate in conflict with God? The choice is simple. All we got to do is choose Jesus. He's able to give you that peace. As a matter of fact, he's already given us that peace. We just have to redeem it. Paul said that I might apprehend that which that I have already been apprehended of, Christ Jesus. Meaning Christ already had a hold of him. You know how we ratified that agreement, y'all? We ratified by taking hold of him. And that's the same text in Philippians that we referenced earlier. Paul said later for this stuff, he said, it's done. It don't mean anything to me in comparison to this love, to this grace, to this joy, to this peace. But listen, y'all, I'm serious. Because we can be in church for 1,000 years and still struggle with this world. Because our hearts still yet have not been broken to the life that Christ wants us to have. And that life has absolutely nothing to do with you getting the best education, the best job, a nice house, a white picket fence, and a beautiful car. That life is Jesus. And either we want all of him or we want none of him. We can't have it both ways. He gave everything up for us. What are we willing to do for him? And there might be one here today who does not know this Christ. I'm here to let you know that he's a friend that will stick closer than a brother. He'll love you more. He's already done it than anybody in this world. Man, I love my wife and I love my mother. But guess what? Their love don't compare to the love of Jesus. Nor does my love for them. He loves us. He said, I will love you with an everlasting love. He said, and with loving kindness have I drawn. Listen, he's still calling us today. Calling us to make a decision for him. Choose ye this day who you're going to serve. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we choose Jesus. Is there one? As the choir sing, we invite you to come to try Jesus. Second call. Maybe you're broken fellowship with him. And there is a conflict between the two of you. Do you know that we can't go no further in our relationship with him till we address the honor that stands between us and him? Now the beautiful thing is he's always standing with his arms wide open. So we invite anybody who needs to be restored today, we invite you to come. We invite you to come this morning. If you desire prayer, we ask you to come to the altar.